Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Television, how the medium works and doesn't, is the subject of two theater efforts here in New York. One is Spinoff, now running off Broadway. The other is Network, the upcoming Broadway production co-starring Emmy winners Bryan Cranston and Tatiana Maslany. The connection, our first guest, actor-director Ron Canada, who joins me next. Huluween is underway at, well, you figured it out, Hulu. Among the original highlights of this October-long celebration of chills is Light as a Feather, which premieres this Friday. We'll spend time with writer R. Lee Fleming Jr. next half hour. Also ahead, our new classic trivia question, some news notes, and the latest on Keep It Colorful in our Up segment. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from the Big Apple on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted to have you with us and starting off your week with a program all about television. 6:53 at the top of the hour here in New York. Wonderful guests coming your way in the hour ahead. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a ring from you. So pick up the phone, put up the voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You'll catch us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Our chat room is open for business. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and guest 642 is already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Actor director Ron Canada joins me here in New York after these news notes. After more than a year of promising a programming relationship with Alien and Blade Runner director Ridley Scott, TNT is set to go forward with that relationship. Scott will produce, and for the first time direct on television, Raised by Wolves, a series about two androids on an unknown planet who parent human children. Raised expected to premiere on TNT late 2019 or 2020. George Clooney and his Smokehouse Pictures operation has a new two-year development deal with Paramount Television covering new TV series. Until recently, Smokehouse had a similar arrangement with independent production company Sonar Entertainment. Paramount worked with Clooney and Smokehouse on Catch-22, the miniseries based on the classic Joseph Heller novel, coming soon to Hulu. And new on the podcast adaptations for TV Trail, Limetown at Facebook Watch. Jessica Biel, coming off her Emmy-nominated performance in The Sinner, will star and serve as co-executive producer. And that's news notes for today. Every now and then in this program, we like to showcase television in an unusual way. And as it turns out here in New York, it is being showcased, the inner workings of TV, in two unusual ways, both on the stage. One way, currently up and running, is Spinoff. It's a play about the workings of television that was created by the man who put together the award-winning The Elephant Man, Bernard Pomerantz, who passed away last year. The other is one of the most exciting productions scheduled to happen this Broadway season, Network, the theatrical presentation based on the prize-winning movie by Patty Chayefsky. And this time, rather than movie stars doing what works in a television network or doesn't, we have TV stars doing it. The cast is headed by Emmy Award winners Bryan Cranston and Tatiana Maslany. And the connection point, I mentioned the tease, is our first guest. You have seen him many times on TV shows over the years, memorably on such series as Law & Order, and he's currently on the new series from Amazon, Jack Ryan, now in his second month, available on smart TV sets and devices. But for these productions, he is actor and director on Spinoff and actor on Network. It's a pleasure to have him this program for the first time here in New York, Ron Canada. Ron, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, Simon. My pleasure to be with you.
What's it like at this point in your career to be involved in two productions on stage, both dealing with the same topic, how TV works?
Well, it's kind of a fantastic coincidence and occurrence. I've been in the television business for, I know this is year 47, 6 years of television news, followed by 41 years as an actor. And so I'm pretty much a creature of television during my entire adult life. About 95% of all the income I've ever made has been made on or through television. So this is quite a a climactic kind of occurrence. Network, the movie, came out when I was transitioning from television news into acting, so it is particularly significant to me to be in the stage version.
A lot of people think that what Padchefsky wrote in Network has turned out to be, over the last 20 years, stunningly prophetic. Would you say the same thing also with Spinoff, that was written by Bernard Prominence of Elephant Man fame? Same thing, very prophetic?
Yes, I think the amazing thing about the play is that it was written in 2003. He started it in 2003, the first version of it, and no one got it. No one understood it. That's why it's sort of been on the shelf for 15 years. But now, with the issues that dominate the news, issues of immigration and racial tension and the power of media in our lives over us, some people feel over us as individuals, the influence that media has, big media on everyone. These things are in the forefront, and this is what makes up the whole atmosphere of Bernard's play. Yeah, he was way ahead of his time, just as Paddy Chayefsky was maybe 40 years ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm. In Spinoff, where you're directing, what do you want to emphasize about what was in the script? What do you want to emphasize about the way television is now that you want to leave the audience with?
Well, I think the main thing that Spinoff is about television on the surface, but what it really digs at is what makes up identity. And I guess it's the concept that so much of our lives now, so many people believe their lives are connected to how much of an image they have on screen or through media. I'm a little past the social media generation, but I know that people are very much concerned with how many followers they have, how many likes they have. Their existence on screen seems to be very, very important, more important than it's ever been. People seem to almost walk around trying to be stars of their own television shows as they videotape themselves doing every kind of mundane act. And part of what Bernard says in the play, he has a TV executive, the head of the network, give a long speech about how television is America's church, and television determines everything for people, what they like, what they don't like, what they believe, what they don't believe, and discusses also how people don't have a positive self-image if they can't see themselves on a screen somewhere. So those are some of the thematic aspects that I try to bring out from Bernard's script.
Get 665 has just joined our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for popping in. You have a question or a comment for Ron, make the call or use that room. Either way, we will get to hear you ASAP. Ron, how long has Spinoff been playing, and how long will it continue off-Broadway?
Well, Spinoff, this is, I think we just completed our third week, and we unfortunately have just one more week of performances this coming week, Thursday through Sunday, and it will be sad, but in show business, all things come to an end. They are finite in their existence, and but on the other hand, it's been a tremendously rewarding and enjoyable experience bringing the play to life over the course of the last 2 years.
Acting director Ron Canada is now involved in two projects on off-Broadway and Broadway here in the Big Apple. The off-Broadway part has another week to go, and that is Spinoff, which he is the director on. And then he comes into acting. We'll talk about that next which is the anticipated Broadway production of Network, which stars Bryan Cranston, Tatiana Maslany, all-star cast. And we'll talk about that next. Ron joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you from the Big Apple. We're live on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you have a question or comment for Ron, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. One of our favorite guests who covers the world of TV, Mark Berman, the editor-in-chief of The Clothing Insider, will join me on a special episode Wednesday at this very hour. We'll talk about the new TV season, now about 2.5 weeks old. We'll talk about the Emmy Awards, and we'll get Mark's picks for new shows that you ought to definitely make time for before the end of the year. That's Mark Berman, editor-in-chief of The Clothing Insider. He joins me Wednesday, 3 to 8 New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. A lot of people here in New York and around the country are talking about this production of Network. How did you get involved with it, and what role did you play?
I got involved by auditioning, as most actors do spend most of their lives doing. We spend more time pursuing work than we do actually performing. I don't know if the average member of the public understands that the times that every time you see an actor on screen, they may have auditioned for many other projects before they landed that particular job. So I was fortunate enough to go in and audition for Network about 3-4 weeks ago, and got the call. The second part of your question, Simon, I'm sorry.
Is what role do you play? And also,
oh, the role, yes, of course. I play Edward Ruddy, the head of the Network. In the movie, it was performed by an actor, William Prince. He is the traditional head of an older network who gets moved aside by Robert Duvall and Faye Dunaway's character, who have a whole new approach to what should be on television and are purely ratings driven, where Mr. Ruddy had some sense of public service. Mr. Ruddy suggests to me the late William Paley, the founder of CBS. I think Mr. Chayefsky was kind of thinking a bit of Mr. Paley when he created Edward Ruddy.
One of the things that made the film Network interesting was that you had major movie stars playing people in television. You had William Holden, you had Faye Dunaway, you had Peter Finch, Robert Duvall, Ned Beatty, et cetera, et cetera. In this Broadway production, you have TV stars, by and large, who are playing these roles about the TV industry. Bryan Cranston, Tatiana Maslany, yourself, and so forth. Has that irony been found by everybody in the cast, that here are TV people now playing this?
Well, I'm sure it occurred to the rest of the cast. We won't meet actually all together until next week, October 15th, which we'll be meeting for first rehearsal, but it certainly has occurred to me. But Broadway is such an expensive endeavor now. It costs many millions to put on a Broadway show, and in order to drive the ticket sales and get audiences in, audiences want to see people that they know and who have entertained them in the past. And when a Broadway show can bring in people like Bryan Cranston and Tatiana and Tony Goldwyn from Scandal, it increases the chance of economic success of the play. So actually you're seeing a lot more in recent years of television and film coming to Broadway in terms of the performers, because of the economics of the business.
What do you think about the buzz that's been generated by this production before it opens? that people not just here in New York but around the country are like very excited that a film adaptation is coming to the Great White Way?
Well, I think, again, that's a function largely of the success of my friend and colleague Brian Cranston. I think that Brian's tremendous success in Breaking Bad and with Trumbo and just about everything he has touched, the all the Way, the LBJ movie. He is a gifted performer who brings so much to the roles that he undertakes, and people love him. And so when he turns to a project like this, which seems so much to have predicted where we are as a society and where we are as an industry, the industry of television, I think in this interconnected age we live in, it's bound to create excitement. But it's the really shows the real meaning of star power, and there's no denying that Bryan Cranston is a star.
Is Spinoff, going back to that, is that the first time you've directed, whether for Broadway or for an off-Broadway for television? And are you catching the bug, let's say? You want to do more directing, whether for television or for stage?
Well, I've been, this is about, I think, play number 11 or 12. I've lost exact count that I've directed over the course of the years. It seems to me a natural extension of acting to sort of widen your scope beyond your own character to all the characters and to really take charge of the storytelling. As a matter of fact, the first time I worked with Bryan Cranston was on a pilot that unfortunately was not successful, wasn't picked up, but it starred the comedian Christopher Titus, and Brian, who was then starring in Malcolm in the Middle, the successful sitcom with Jane Kaczmarek and the with their three sons, or four sons. Brian took time off from his day job to direct a pilot. I think there's a natural extension. I love directing in the theater. Perhaps one day I'd like to take a crack at being on the other side of the camera for a film or television project, but that opportunity hasn't come yet. But Spinoff was really the first play that I had an absolute passion to direct. All my other directing jobs came as a result of someone asking if I would like to take a crack at it, or if I would read it, if I was interested, would I direct, or could I come and help them out. So, yeah, I expect I will direct for the theater again, but I've learned not to predict in this business.
Ron, how does directing, and before that, your role in journalism, how does that combine in with your acting? How does that, you know, impact your acting in any way?
Well, directing, first to answer the questions in order, directing forces you to think about the whole story. It forces you to think through the storyline of every character who appears on stage and how the entire mechanism of the story works. And so when you go back to acting, I think it increases, for me, the consciousness of responsibility to the overall story that the writer and the director are trying to tell. It puts me more in tune with that task and less preoccupied with, self-involved aspects of building a character. In terms of the experience in news and journalism, I think journalists ask the same questions actors and directors and theater artists and film artists ask, and it's the big question is why? Why do human beings behave the way they do? Why do circumstances lead people to behave in a certain way and create certain outcomes? And so that's what a journalist wants to know, and it's also what an actor wants to know. And during my 6 years as a reporter, I got to see a lot of real-life drama, real people in real situations. And so my entire acting career has been informed by the 6 years when I was on the streets of Baltimore and of Washington, D.C., observing the news. And most of the time, unfortunately, the news is bad. The news is the stuff of drama.
Mm-hmm. Ron, I think we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Corey. I'm from New York City. And,
good to have you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I had the privilege of catching a performance of Spinoff last week, and I was really struck by the representations of Latinos on the stage, which you don't get to see very much. And it goes back to what you were talking about before, with not seeing yourself on the screen so much. And so, I'm not sure I have a question exactly, but how much did Bernard intend to highlight Latinos on the stage? And how much time did you spend, cultivating those themes in the show?
Well, Corey, thank you. I'm glad you that you came to the show, and I think I gleaned that you enjoyed it, and I'm very happy to hear that. No, it's definitely it's what Bernard wrote. Every word you heard, and the characters that were created, and the issues raised, he wrote about in 2003. Bernard, as I've learned from talking to him when he was alive and from delving into his script, was a deeply humane person and concerned about the freedom and agency of every human being, and that's why his writing excites me and the cast so much. But there was nothing to cultivate except to do what the man wrote, and to get actors who were capable of bringing those characters to life. And I'm very fortunate in the two lead actors I found, Kevin Rico Angulo and Megan McQueen, who are marvelous Californian-born Mexican-American third and fourth generation actors who are superb professionals and talented, attractive people, as you saw, and they put their hearts and their great intelligence and their souls into it, and lifted what Bernard wrote off the page. And I'm proud of that. And certainly, I've found two terrific actors, but if you can't find talented actors of Latin heritage in the city of New York, I don't know. I think you should retire.
Corey, first of all, thank you very much for making the call and your thoughts. And I also want you to know that one of the things that we are devoted to on this program and for the get-go, it's our 12th year on the air, is to showcase diversity, including Latino representation on television, both in front of and behind the camera. And I want you to know that we're very committed to that, and I really appreciate you being on the call today.
Thanks.
Thank you, Corey.
Corey from New York joining us live on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Before we wrap up, Ron, aside from what you do in theater, any TV projects coming up? I know you have Jack Ryan, which is currently in its second month on Amazon.
The Jack Ryan, there with all the platforms there are now, there are always things on. I think the series 7 Seconds is still available. I have a bunch of episodes on available on All Access CBS on shows like Bull and The Good Fight. And I have an episode, I filmed an episode of Orville with Seth MacFarlane, it was a scene of a conference of fleet admirals, and my old friend and colleague Ted Danson was there, and Victor Garber, who some people may remember from the series with Jennifer Garner. the television show that broke her out. Victor played her dad, and he was also the architect of the Titanic in the movie Titanic. So Victor is there. Ted Danson was there. Tony Todd, who Star Trek fans will remember well, was in the episode. And Jonathan Frakes, who was Patrick Stewart's right-hand man in Star Trek Next Generation, was the director. So it was quite a meeting. I don't think that episode is aired yet, but it was certainly fun to do and to be with those guys again.
So people are wanting to come and see Spinoff and Network. Where do they go? What theater here in New York?
Well, Spinoff, this is the last week, Thursday through Sunday. It will be at the Riverside Theater, which is a dedicated theater inside the Riverside Church. People don't know about it. It's a beautiful first-rate theater. That's on Claremont Avenue, which is just one block east of Riverside Drive, between 120th and 122nd Street. The one line to 116th Street puts you right there. We will be at the Belasco Theater for Network. Tickets are already selling, apparently, like crazy. That's where I'll be. Hopefully from now until next July, there won't be any time for any other jobs. But if you're going to get tickets for Network, you'd better get at it because they are selling like crazy. And I hope that you will come to see our effort with Spinoff this weekend.
As far as Network goes, you can take that to the bank. This is going to be a definite sellout. And if the production is as advertised, I have a hunch that next year around Tony time, you will see a lot of people on stage and behind the stage up for that wonderful prize. And you can also see Mr. Canna in Jack Ryan. It's now playing in the second month on Amazon on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about that online, you go to www.amazonstudios.com. That's www.amazonstudios.com. Rob Canna, thank you so much for a wonderful half hour. Congratulations on Spinoff. Congratulations in advance to you and everybody involved with Network. There's no question in my mind it's going to be a winner, and we'd love to have you back anytime you like. It's been a distinct pleasure. Super dime.
Oh, thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me, and I'll come back anytime you want me.
You got it. We got a date. You take care.
All right. Bye-bye, Simon.
Ron Canada, actor director, joining us live right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you get a chance to see him in action on television, and he's had many a great performance over the years, including a very memorable courtroom scene in an episode of Law & Order, check him out. He is really a very special actor. We'll have more Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We'll have our classic trivia question in a moment. First, some fine words for folks at Audible.com. If you're in the mood for chills, and it is the season with Halloween in October, well, you might like to hear the new Stephen King novel, The Outsiders, narrated by a fantastic actor, Will Patton. You may remember him from No Way Out, some wonderful television along the way, including a memorable episode of The Equalizer in its first season. And Stephen King, can't beat that, The Outsider. And you can get it free right now if you subscribe for a trial run with Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, including a growing number of original audio productions made especially for the company. You can listen on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, one of them on trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why Audible.com will certainly transform the way you hear the world. Remember, for that free trial run, free audio book, great customer service, audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our Clap Trivia Question of the Week. Unfortunately, nobody got our question over the last 2 weeks, so no prizes awarded. The question was this. What was the name of the helicopter service that was run by TC? That's the character played by Roger E. Mosley on the original Magnum PI. The answer? Island Hoppers. Island Hoppers was the answer to our classic trivia question the last 2 weeks. So here's our new question in play, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win two DVDs. The new DVD for Loudermilk, now in its second season on the Audience Network, and Cesar Millan, Love My Pitbull from Nat Geo Wild, and a 6-CD set with John Edward of Crossing Over fame developing her own psychic powers. Here's the question. On the TV series Blue Blood, starring Tom Selleck, what's the neighborhood where the Blue Blood family gather together at the end of every episode? We need a specific title. What's the name of the New York neighborhood where Blue Blood family takes that as their dinner? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. Of course, with the correct answer, you win the prizes. And if you just missed the question a moment ago, no problem. We'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll have another up segment on what turned out with the Keep It Colorful campaign. The results are in, and boy, are they terrific. But first, Liza Feather premieres this Friday on Hulu. It's their special original Halloween treat. We've got the writer, R. Lee Fleming, Jr. He joins me live from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Our simulcast on Spreaker.com as well. Blog Talk Radio, your own part of the stew. Long-winded program on all things food. Join Andrew Capino and Chris Stewart every week for the stew right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Told Live, kicking off your week in October 2018. Tom Applebaum here with you live on this Monday on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. 66 degrees at the top of the hour, so 68 before all is said and done today. And we have another great guest for you coming up. If you have a question or comment for that guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04, and get 672 now in the room. This is the first ever Hulu-ween. Yes, that's Hulu's spin on Halloween. In addition to the range of Halloween programs they've got, they have some originals to add to that programming. And one of their originals is taking place this Friday. It's called Light as a Feather. It's special in one respect. It is the first TV program involving Wattpad, the digital programming outlet that has been a TV player overseas, but not yet here in the United States, although they have deals with the likes of TBS, TNT, and Universal Cable Productions. But finally, thanks to, also Entertainment One, but finally, thanks to Hulu and Awesomeness TV, they now have a series. It's called Light as a Feather. And joining us live to talk about it is its writer, adapter, and I believe also executive producer, R. Lee Fleming, Jr. Lee, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Simon.
You're welcome. So talk about the process of translating this tale from a Wattpad story to a TV miniseries.
It started a couple of years ago when I wasn't familiar with the book. I was very familiar with the game from childhood of Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. But I had a meeting with Brian Scher, who was working at Gramnet, Kelsey Grammer's company at the time, and Kaylee Marsh of Kaylee Marsh Media, who were looking for a writer for the project, and they had me read the novel, and which had been doing amazing numbers on Wattpad, and they correctly thought that it would make a great show. And I read it, and I was like, "Yeah, I want to do this. This is it. It was similar enough to things I'd done in the past. You know, writing things about high school, but there was the horror element, which was new to me. So I was very, very eager to get the job. And fortunately enough, they entrusted me to do it.
When you took on the job, what did you decide to adapt? How did you want to bring the horror in as well as the other elements of what made that book so successful?
Well, I've tried to adapt things, or I have adapted things before with varying degrees of success. But the thing about this was there were so many elements that were just really that I could leave in place. And, I mean, obviously when you're adapting a book, certain things – you need to expand on things, and maybe you need to do some invention. But as far as the characters and the basic setup of the show, I was really fortunate in that it was something that really lent itself to being adapted into a television show really seamlessly.
So people who haven't, who don't know about this project or haven't read the book, which it's coming from, talk about what the storyline is all about.
So the basic story is, I don't know, are you familiar with the game Light as a Feather?
No, I'm not. And it's very
okay.
Interesting in terms of finding out about this, that this actually was also a game as before it ever became a novel.
Yeah, it was, and I think it goes back a really long way. But of course, my early memory of it is from like the early '80s and being at friends' houses and playing. Basically, it's a sleepover game where one person lies in the middle, and then the other participants sort of kneel around them with their fingers kind of wedged underneath the person's body while they sort of lie recumbent on the ground. And then often there'll be it'll be dark. The room will be dark, and maybe if you really want to go for it, you put candles out to sort of create a spooky vibe. But the basic idea is that everybody chants "Light as a feather, stiff as a board." Light as a feather, stiff as a board, in an effort to somehow summon some sort of supernatural power that that causes the person lying on the ground to levitate. So that's the game. There's also another version of the game that's in the book that I wasn't familiar with, which is there's a leader in this version. There's a leader of the game who sort of kneels at the head of the recumbent person, and before they do the chanting thing, the person tells a story about how the person lying on the ground is going to die. Which, and I guess sort of the idea is if they do levitate, then sort of that adds sort of even more credibility to this story. But of course, it's all just spooky fun. Except in the book and then in our series, the girl makes the predictions of for everyone's death, and then the Monday morning, basically after they play the game, or the spooky things start to happen, and then they the participants start to worry. You know, are we in serious mortal danger here?
Lo and behold, Lee, we have summoned a phone call, and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Let's try again. See if we get our spirit of the phone call up and running. There we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? I guess we have something spooky that was on that line, Lee. But
I don't know.
I don't know. What pretend, but
I just got a chill.
Yes, in the world of the unknown, as John Newman liked to say, you get your messages any way you get them. Telepathy, whatever. I'm a One Step Beyond fan. Love that show. And I'm happy it's playing on the internet now. It's in great, pristine black and white, I might add. Lee, how long did it take to make the series?
It didn't take the answer. I guess there was actually more waiting. It felt like there was more waiting from the time that I was developing the pitch than once Awesomeness came on board with Hulu. It happened really, really fast. So the whole thing was sort of blindingly fast. We started production at the beginning of the summer, this past summer. So so we shot all the episodes and edited and got everything ready in really short order because, you know, obviously the show premieres this Friday. So I don't think I've ever been part of something that actually came together quite that fast.
Yeah, it sounds like warp speed production and post-production time.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, I think there was an urgency just to get it. They had a date they wanted to hit, and I'm so proud of the show that we've been able to put together. It's just, I mean, everybody's come together to, it's been my favorite thing of my career so far to work on. It's just been absolutely incredibly gratifying, and I can't wait for people to see it.
We're talking about Life as a Feather. It's the brand new series from Hulu. It's also the first U.S. production from Wattpad Studios, which also is working with the likes of TBS, TNT, Universal Cable Productions, and Entertainment One. And the program is also co-produced with Awesomeness TV. Great organization there. It does a lot of good stuff for both TV and the web. We've got the writer and executive producer, Arnie Fleming Jr., with us. He's live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make sure you raise that voice before you make the call, and then raise your voice at 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name, gets 672 into the room. Coming up on Friday's episode at this very hour, rescheduled from last week, we'll have the executive producer of the new Raycon Media syndicated show, Me Time, with Frangola. And his name is Jason Berger. Frangola, by the way, is the interesting pair of female comedians who get together every day to talk about all things under the sun, under this world, and get you, the audience, involved as well in various ways, including social media. So, Me Time executive producer, Jason Berger, will be with us as our lead guest. And then we'll meet a very popular writer of Kid Bin on the Disney Channel and other places. He's the executive producer of the award-winning Amazon series The Stinky and Dirty Show, and he now has a brand new project on Disney Channel called TOTS. He's the story writer, and his name is Guy Torbis. We will meet him Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lee, in terms of the casting, I noticed that this is a very ensemble show. A lot of people who either are new to television or people that you may know by face, if not by name.
Yes, it is. It's a big cast, and like I said before, it's an incredibly talented cast. But yeah, a lot of the people, Liana Liberato, who plays the lead on the show, is she's done a lot of film work, and she's done some TV, but this is her first time to be a regular. A regular on a series. I think you can say the same for a lot of the other people too. So, I mean, they're very young and very talented. And I think people, think this is just the beginning of a fantastic trip for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Where did you produce the series? What location, and how did it contribute to the spooky atmosphere?
Well, we were in Los Angeles, which I don't know if there's anything particularly spooky about it. The show takes place in sort of it's not supposed to be in LA. It's supposed to be non-specific Northern California area. But we shot the show was shot in and around Los Angeles. A lot of it was shot in the San Fernando Valley.
Very picturesque. You can find lots of great locations there for all sorts of shows.
Yeah, I think it looks great.
Mm-hmm. What kind of diversity did you have with your production crew? Writers, directors, people on the set?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that.
What kind of diversity did you have with your production team? Writers, directors, people on the crew?
Well, there was definitely always a very strong interest in creating the most talented, most diverse group of individuals, and I think that was reflected in our choices of the crew. It was definitely a very diverse group.
Mm-hmm. And given the fact you were working with Hulu, you're working with Wattpad, you're working with Awesomeness, and I guess some other companies too, what's it like when you have to serve so many masters as both a writer and producer?
Yeah, I think this show has like 17 executive producers or something. It's not that many, but it's heavy. Actually, it was not at all a bumpy road. People were in all the entities were involved in varying degrees at different times in the process. As far as getting, and I've been in this situation before where there have been sort of warring entities giving you notes that are sort of completely contradict each other, which makes it just then you have no idea how to proceed. Like, who do I listen to and who do I, risk alienating? But in this case, it was a really harmonious process. I mean, I got, you know, constantly, you know, awesomeness were, those were the notes that we got from, we probably got more notes from them than anybody else because they were sort of the day-to-day people when we would interact with when we were working, but we also got Hulu notes and, you know, GramNet, same thing. And they were, you know, they were reading all the drafts of the scripts, but it can be a real juggling process, but in this case, it fortunately was not.
Let's see if our call to try to get on earlier is now finally with us. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. I guess decided to give a call and that was it. All right. Well, thanks for the call anyway. At least you had something rather than nothing. Dead air anyway. Stylistically, Lee, were there any TV or movie inspirations for how you made the series? One thing I thought of today was that Lion of the Feather reminded me of a series back in the 60s that Boris Karloff hosted an accidental thriller, which a lot of people call a classic of the horror suspense genre. It actually started as a series of crime thrillers, and then it became more supernatural, a little science fiction, but more into the gothic tradition.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that show, but I mean the one thing that I think I was really fortunate I was very fortunate in the fact that, you know, like I said, I come from a lot of writing about high school students, but I haven't done a lot of, you know, this has been so. You know, obviously influences on me. I mean, I loved The Craft when they came out and the Scream movies. And, you know, but I tend to gravitate towards the ones that, again, that sort of take place in high school. Fortunately, I got to work with a writing staff of people who actually do that. They've had a lot more experience in that regard. So they were drawing for – constantly, you know, referencing influences that they had, but Seth Sherwood and Eileen Shem and Sarah Fiore. We had a small writers room, but who wrote all the episodes. But I mean, it was, again, I'm not really a super horror guy, I was very fortunate that I had those guys with me.
Mm-hmm. Hearing Ari Fleming Jr., he is the writer, adapter, executive producer of Lion of the Feather, based on the Wattpad hit novel. And the program is premiering this Friday on smart TV sets and smart TV devices through Hulu as part of a month-long campaign, Huluween, which also includes Into the Dark, who one of the co-stars was on our show last week. If you want to catch that interview, by the way, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or iTunes, or our podcast on Apple TV and Speaker, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. A few more minutes we have, Mr. Fleming, and if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or listen to our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Once again, Wednesday on Tomorrow Televised, well, our second of three episodes we're doing this week, the Fleming Insider himself, Editor-in-Chief Mark Fleming, will join us. We'll talk about how the new TV broadcast season is going so far, almost 2.5 weeks in. We've got also a look back at the Emmy Awards, and we'll look forward to what new shows anywhere on television might be worth your while to see between now and the end of the year. That's Mark Fleming, the Fleming Insider, with me. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Wednesday, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And coming up shortly, we'll let you know how the Keep It Colorful campaign, running the last couple of weeks from Steven Spark and Color Farm Media, turned out. I think you'll be very nicely surprised by that turnout. We'll get to that shortly. You have been around in television in different capacities for several decades now, and you mentioned a moment ago that high school is like a connecting theme.
I just didn't hear anything after several decades. That just freaked me out. But yeah, so your question is why do I keep going back to high school?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've been involved with a number of shows that involve high school in some way.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain Mike. At the very outset of my career, I started out writing sitcoms and working for a company that produced family sitcoms. But my first big thing I wrote was a movie called She's All That, which came out in 1999. And so that kind of all of a sudden gave me, I think, some cred in it, in that world. You know, I grew up at a time where those, you know, I was so influenced by the John Hughes movies. I don't know, there's something about that time in your life that's kind of just timeless. And I think it's something that I think, it's something I find that I'm just interested in. I continue to tap back into and feel like that's a great place to tell stories. I think just because when you're that age, everything's so new and your emotions are so all over the place and so raw. I just think it lends itself to great stories.
Yeah, totally great. One of my favorite shows growing up was Room 222 on ABC. A really groundbreaking show. I wish that the episodes would be on YouTube or somewhere because it's one of the, I think, marvelous shows dealing with the high school experience. And Lloyd Haynes, who sadly passed away way too early, who should have won Emmy Award for his work on that program, was a true groundbreaking actor who played the major teacher showcased on Room 222. I always felt that if I had a career, I would like to manage it the way Lloyd Haynes did. He was one of my role models.
Oh, really? I've not seen that show. I'm familiar with it. That was the James L. Brooks. He co-created that, right?
Yes, he created that. That was his breakthrough creation television. Gene Reynolds, who worked on MASH, was a major producer director of that show, also scriptwriter. Jerry Goldsmith wrote the wonderful theme, one of the best, I think, TV themes for a comedy you'll ever hear. And Michael Constantine, Karen Ballantyne was in the cast, along with Denise Nicholas, and a lot of wonderful kids, many of whom came out of the Los Angeles area, where it was filmed in some Los Angeles high schools.
That's interesting. I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Great, great show. Should somebody please put it on YouTube or get it digitally remastered so that it could be on a network somewhere. What's next for you, Lee, in terms of a TV project?
Well, I'm. We just finished this. finished post production on this. I just a couple of weeks ago. So I am. I'm sort of figuring out what's next. There are a couple projects that I'm looking into just at the very beginning of looking into now. But it's been, you know, I've been working so much on this that I'm kind of enjoying not doing anything too extensive at this point.
Well, whatever new project you take on, do you want it to be the same type of speed in terms of getting it made, or do you want to go back to the more leisurely? You have a little more time to plot out, a little more time to film or tape, and a little more time to post-produce.
Well, you know, when I said that we did go fast, but I have to say, a lot of times I find, you know, I've been on shows, on network shows with much bigger budgets and bigger and more time, and I think a lot of times the task just sort of expands to the amount of time that you're given, and I think it is nice to have. It is a luxury to have a lot of time, but it's amazing when you've got that. I like having that clock going because I think it really it lends itself to, you know, it forces you to be creative and I mean we still had a healthy amount of time. We were able to get all the scripts written and everything in plenty of time. So I'd love to go back to that. I think writing for streaming has been a fantastic experience.
Light as a Feather. It's the newest production, original production from Hulu. It's from the first original film from Wattpad Studios, latest from Awesomeness TV, and it premieres this Friday on smart TV sets and smart TV devices that carry Hulu. And remember, if you want to find out more about Hulu and all the original shows they do, as well as Huluween, the special month-long Halloween campaign, first annual edition, go online to www.hulu.com. www.hulu.com. Light as a Feather, premiering this Friday. And hopefully more Wattpad and Awesome TV events coming up in the months ahead. Ollie Femi Jr., thank you again for joining us. It's been a wonderful pleasure having you aboard. Good luck with the series, and we'd love to have you back when you have another project going in television. It's been a great honor to have you.
Well, thanks, Sam. Simon, I've appreciated it. Have a great rest of your day.
You too, and a super Halloween season.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Ollie Femi Jr., joining us live from Los Angeles. Now time for Up is an Update, where we catch up on guests and topics we've had in this program. In the last couple of weeks, we have showcased Keep It Colorful, the Season 4 campaign, How to Develop Pilots with Expanding Diversity in terms of cast and crew. Well, the campaign ended late last week, and out of 49 pilots that were submitted for crowdfunding, 28 reached their goal. That's more than half. 28 out of 49 pilots reached their goal. Now comes the second leg of this, where one of those pilots is going to get an opportunity to win $25,000 and or a program development deal. We will stay in touch on how the situation goes, and once the winner is announced, we will invite the winner. We'll invite Emily Betts of Scene Spark, and we'll invite Eric Alexander, who is the co-star of the long-running Fox series Living Single, who co-owns Color Farm Media, one of the companies that's involved in it, to be on our program in a future episode. So once again, out of 49 pilots, 28 reached their goals. By the way, last time we checked with you on Tuesday, only 13 have reached their goals. We told you the last couple of days of a crowdfunding campaign, you can get a surge in talent. And if you want to catch up on the interview we did with Emily Best about this project, again, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out all of our past and super past episodes, as well as find out about our current episodes, too. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out this interview and others at our podcast places. That's iTunes, the Apple TV, and Spreaker podcast app, and www.iHeartRadio.com. www.iHeartRadio.com. Remember, we love hearing from you about the world of television, where it's at, where it's going. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question every week. And it also gets you involved in the regular feature called The Show to Know. Is there a program you think deserves the attention and doesn't get it? Well, let us know. We'll give it the attention on this program. You get the credit. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. So don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's it, UBC Simon TWBT. Again, I want to thank both of our guests, Arlie Fleming Jr. from Live the Feather, Ron Canada from his various off-Broadway and Broadway enterprises. Once again, spinoff continues until the following week, and Network will premiere soon, and I'm sure it's going to be one of the major Broadway productions of the season. We'll be playing at the Blasco Theater with Bryan Cranston and Tatiana Maslany, both Emmy winners, leading the cast. Remember, we love hearing from you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toad's Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonsberg is executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transform the way you hear the world. For a free audio book and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Remember, it's the first of three episodes we're doing this week, so we'll be back with you Wednesday with Mark Berman of the Programming Insider. That's Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're doing to you now and then, make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.